Praise God. Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. Let's begin at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise God. And that's what I want to talk to you about here this morning. Amen. A new dawn. Amen. A new dawn. Praise God. Jesus, we need you here this morning. We need your touch. We need your help, your inspiration, your unction and anointing, enlightenment and revelation here today. Your spirit, God, to reach in, to move upon us, to move upon every heart and every soul. You know the mindsets, beliefs, ideologies, theologies. You know everything concerning all of us, God. But the Bible teaches us that your word shall prevail, that truth shall come, leading us into all truth. Now, I'm asking you, Savior, to do that here today. Open your word up unto our hearts and lead us and guide us and teach us, Lord. And we'll be quick to be obedient unto you and to follow such. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Now, with just four scriptures up here, I don't even really know where to start. But I am thankful for salvation. Amen. Thankful for salvation. Amen. Jesus said, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. And truth leads us into all truth. Amen. And brings us unto him. Praise God. And so we have visited this passage of scripture that we are looking at here this morning is nothing new unto us. We know it. We have visited it many times. We understand it. At least I hope that we understand it. But going back unto it, Paul talking to the church that is in Rome. Amen. The church. That's what he said. Amen. Right there in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Amen. He starts it off and he begins unto the church that is in Rome. Amen. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Oh, we could talk about that for a long time. See, that's the problem with just a little bit of notes. Amen. We could talk about that for a long time. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. God help us and teach us to be a servant. Amen. There's a progressive nature in this, and we need to be servants first. And then he was called to be an apostle. And in the process of being called to be an apostle, he was separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. Praise God. And to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to read 5-6 chapters to get us to where we are here today, but Paul is talking and dealing with some issues and such, and so he brings this up. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And you know, that is the prominent thing in our world today. And let me just talk to you. I don't feel excited. I don't feel exuberant and energetic in that way. I feel like teaching here today. And but the world that we live in here today is accepting sin in large doses. They are overdosing in sin and calling themselves Christians. Now, we don't believe that anybody is perfect. There's none that is perfect. The only one that is perfect, they stretched him out on a cross and crucified him. Amen. And so we don't believe that anyone is perfect, but Paul is talking here, and people have this philosophy and calling it theology, and it's not theology. It is philosophy. It's their mindset in these things, but they have this philosophy that we are saved by grace alone, and that grace covers a multitude of sins. Grace doesn't cover a multitude of sins. We must understand that grace leads us unto salvation. That's what the book of Titus says. Amen. He said that the grace of God hath appeared unto all, leading us, teaching us that denying ungodliness, that doesn't sound like living any way that you want. Grace teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Woo, Jesus, help. They don't want to hear that. Amen. Grace teaches you to deny worldliness, ungodly lust. Amen. And that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Amen. That word, this, is all inclusive. Paul is just not talking to his generation, but Paul is talking to every generation that would follow, enabling us to understand that no matter what generation that we are in, we are going to sense and to face different things. For instance, Paul didn't have problems with iPads. Paul didn't have problem with social media. Paul didn't have problem with Facebook. Paul didn't have problems with that. But in the manner that he said that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Paul talked in the book of Romans chapter number 12, and that we would be conformed by the renewing of our mind. Transform. I'm chapter 12, verse number 1. Amen. Let's just start there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So it is all inclusive. It teaches us. Grace is going to teach us. The grace of God that was there for Paul taught them how to live in that world. And the grace of God that we have, amen, in this day and time in 2022 teaches us, amen, how that we should live godly, soberly, and righteously in this world. Praise God. We don't get to live, I'm sorry, but we don't get to live however that we want to live. We don't get to live, amen, any way that we want to live. We don't get to do anything that we want to do and say, oh, grace of God will cover all that. Let me just tell you, grace was given with measure. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Grace was given with measure. In other words, when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it was given with measure. If I could just liken this bottle of oil here today, amen, that is the measure. It's like you have a measuring cup, measuring spoons. Grace is given with measure. And when all the grace is gone, the oil that is in the measure, when it's gone, there's no more grace. That's not the popular doctrine, but the Bible teaches us that grace is given by measure and that His mercy is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so grace teaches us how to live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world. Amen. In other words, we ought to forsake sin. We ought to forsake the worldly, carnal lust of sin. Amen. To be able to do these things. And so Paul is teaching this here. Is Paul writing, and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Amen. Can we just continue in sin and just continue to have grace, 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 grace? He answers the question and he says, God forbid. God forbid. And the answer is pretty simple. It's just a matter of fact. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Praise God. I'm telling you right now, I could get extremely long-winded, because I see how this ties into a study that I've been working on this week, and I just didn't feel like it was right for the service. Maybe it is right. Maybe I missed it somewhere. Amen. But he says, as he is stating, he said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what death to sin is? That's repentance. And a repentance is a forsaking of the sin. Repentance is a turning around and away from your sin. Repentance is not continuing in your sin until you be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But repentance, amen, is being sorrow for your sin and turning around, walking away, and not doing those sins again. The fallacy is well, you know what, I'm gonna repent of my sins, but you know what, I'm just gonna continue to sin until I get the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost will give you power over sin, amen. But you gotta have some willpower. You gotta have some discipline. You gotta have some sincerity about you that you're not going to continue in the sin that you are in. And he said, how shall we that are dead to sin? When you're dead to sin, then those things ought not to be able to affect you again. Not be able. You can walk up to a dead man and flick his ear. Amen. And he's not gonna jump up at you and bow his chest out and say, what do you think you're doing? No, he's dead. He's dead to sin. Amen. You can't poke him. You can't threaten him enough. You can't cuss him out enough to make him mad. He's dead. And that is the way that we ought to be. We ought to be dead to sin. Amen. And the truth of the matter is that we are too oftentimes affected by the temptations of sin. Amen. Sin has many different vices. Sin comes in many different forms. And we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices as the Bible teaches us. Amen. But for some of us, sin may come in the form of drugs. You know what? If you were a former drug addict, amen, then you're going to be tempted unlike everybody else. Amen. Drugs doesn't really affect me. And I'm not saying that it's not going to come knocking at my door one day or such. I'd be foolish to think that. But you know what? I've never done drugs. I've never done any of those things. And so it does not affect me in that way. But if you've smoked marijuana, if you've done crack cocaine, or if you've done heroin or something like that, amen, then it's going to be a constant visitor back. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches, that an unclean spirit, that when he has walked through dry places, he goes back to that house seeking rest. And if he finds you in your house, and he calls it his house, he calls it his house. Amen. But if he finds that house garnished and empty, or cleaned and empty, not full of the Spirit, then he's coming back in. And you've got to stand guard against that. And so you've got to remain dead unto sin. Now, every one of you know your vice. You know, or at least I hope you do. You know what you are weak to. You know what you are going to succumb to. And you need to stand guard against that. And you need to pray, even on a regular basis, that that would continue to stay dead in your life. Amen. There's some people that are susceptible to anger. And you get to, amen, something crosses them and they get mad and they get upset. And they not only just voice their opinion and their mindset and stuff, but all of the curse words and all that begins to come out of them and stuff. And if that is you, then you need to be careful and you need to stand guard against this. And this is why Paul, when he was teaching, he said, I die daily. Amen. This old flesh has got to die daily. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to resist sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Praise God. Amen. Now, you could go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. And you could read verses number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3, and verse number 4. And I understand, amen, that verse right there is talking about Old Testament law, and he said that the law was not able to make us perfect, and so the law consisted of sacrifice as well, but it was not sacrifices. Verse 4 number said it was not the blood of bulls and of goats that could take us unto perfection, amen, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so verse number 1 and verse number 2 says that the law of sacrifice, that it it was not able to make us perfect, and that if we were to be made perfect, then sacrifice would be no issue. Then sacrifice would cease. And if sacrifice would cease, then it says that the conscience of the worshiper, amen, would not be affected or would not be effective. And so in reality, when we begin to look at the worshiper, we need to understand that your worship ought to be predicated really and honestly upon your past. And that sounds kind of crazy, but when you understand where the blood of Jesus Christ has taken you from, amen, then your worship ought to be greater. There ought to be more of a lure, amen, to worship more than there is a lure for the past to pull you back. And there are so many people that cannot get over their past. And they are bound by their past. They're bound by, amen, the things that they have done in the past. They're bound by condemnation. They're bound by a life of regrets. They're bound by all of these things. And instead of living in the past, oh, I could talk for an hour here today. Amen. But instead of living in the past, amen, and letting the past hold you captive, you need to be in remembrance of where God brought you from and be thankful for that. Man, some of you have experienced a world of being backslidden. Amen. And God has been merciful. And your worship ought to be great. Amen. Not because that you failed and you went back and you've got all these regrets, but because that God brought you from all of that. That in spite of all of that, God had mercy upon you. Praise God. Your worship ought to be greater because we understand where He brought us from. Instead of our past, luring us back into that. Oh, praise my Lord Jesus. Amen. We could talk about the ashes of the red heifer. Amen. In that it was already prepared. I believe it's in the book of Leviticus, Exodus and Leviticus. And that they took the ashes of the red heifer and they took them outside the camp and they left them out there. Why? Because it was for you. Because when you went outside the camp, or if you was inside the camp and you become clean, when you were unclean, they put you on the outside of the camp. And if you're on the outside of the camp, you can't get clean unless there is a way that is provided for you to be clean. And so there is the ashes of the red heifer that would help you to become clean. I don't have time to get into all of that. But it was a way that was already prepared for them. But if you were outside the camp, amen, and the only cleanliness that you could have was on the inside of the camp, and you became unclean on the outside, you could never get on the inside to obtain the cleanliness that you need. And so the ashes of the red heifer were put on the outside of the camp. That way, when you went about your business and you were on the outside of the camp, and you were walking through and you stumbled upon a dead body, whether it was a dead body that was a few hours old, a few years old, or a few centuries old, and it was just a bone, if it was the bone of a dead body, you just became unclean. If you were out there digging for treasure, trying to find your treasure of gold, and you come upon a dead bone, guess what? You're unclean. That was the scripture. You're unclean. Amen. But thank God there was already a preparedness for you. Amen. That when you become unclean, it was already set. Amen. There's no corporate board meeting that's on the inside and said, hey, Joe's on the outside and he became unclean. What are we going to do to help him become clean? Well, I don't know. Let's take a vote. No, it was already decided. It was already settled that when you became unclean, this is what you're going to do. And it wasn't because anybody was unclean at that moment, even though all were. Amen. But it was in preparation for all that would become unclean according to the law. And the Bible teaches us that the law kills, but the Spirit giveth life. And we know that the representation of the ashes of the red heifer, amen, is Christ Jesus. And that He provided a way for us to be clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so with that said, amen, these dead things that you can touch, these dead things, amen, that can defile you, amen, are exactly that. They are dead things. And we let the dead bury the dead. And we forget those things which are behind us and we press forward for the things which are ahead of us. The dead things represent the past. And you can't go back digging into your past and come back clean. When you go digging into your past, praise God, and when you go digging into somebody else's past, you are going to become unclean. Don't be guilty of going and digging into somebody else's past. Say, well, I know who they used to be, and you know they were just a, you know what? They were just a heathen. They were just, they were so messed up. They were this, they were that, and stuff like that. You just become unclean when you go digging into somebody else's past. Don't let your past dictate your future. Don't let your past dictate your present. Amen. What's going on in your life right now? Amen. But some of us can't get over, amen, what we have done, and we feel like there is no place that we can come through this or to get over and beyond all of this. Amen. But God has already provided a way. And when you think about that, in the fact that God has already provided a way, it ought to cause you to desire to worship. You know what? I've messed up. I've messed up and I am unclean. But I've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I can go unto him, and he is the propitiation for my sins. And not for my sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Amen. And I can partake of that blood and I can become clean. Amen. And in that I am thankful. And I am very responsive unto that in my act of worship. Praise God. So don't let your past, the only way that your past can hinder you is because you won't let it go. And I know that's hard. And the reason is because that is a tool of the enemy to destroy you, to pull you back, is to remind you of all of your failures. But when you are in that lane, then you are constantly dealing with dead things. Know what the Bible said? That old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. And you've got to learn. Let your past be a testimony, a worship service of where God can bring others from, because he brought you from that area. I'm talking about a new dawn, a new day, a new beginning, a new life. Amen. And Paul teaches on this. And he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, you can't do that. You can't continue in sin. Amen. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And through the act of repentance, you've got to let some things die in your life. Hopefully sin isn't alive in your life. You've got to let these things die. You've got to let them die. You've got to let emotions die. You've got to let relationships die. You've got to let all of these feelings die so that you can live in the present. How many people do we know, amen, that are constantly living in the past and they cannot get past the past? They're bound up. They cannot get past the past. They cannot get past their failures. They cannot get past all of the things that they've done wrong. They cannot get past their mistakes. You know what? When they were committing the mistakes, they were happy. Yeah, they were happy. When they were living in fornication and in adultery, and when they were living in, amen, immorality and promiscuity, when they were living in alcoholism and drugs and such, and when they were living it up and stuff, amen, they were happy. But they're no longer happy anymore. Amen. They're no longer, and that's not where God wants you to live. And so he has provided a way, a new beginning. Amen. You see, that old life represents things that we don't want to go back to. That old life represents memories that I don't care to have. That old life represents a conscience that I wished was just scrubbed away. But you know, the fact of the matter is that you cannot really forget anything. Somewhere in your mind, it's tucked in there, and you can't get past it. The faults and the failures that you have had in life, amen, and the shortcomings, the mistakes that you have in life, the relationships that you've had in life that you wish you could just rewind time and take a different track and go a different way and just completely forget about that. It will never happen. You will never forget all of those things. And that sounds horrible. But you know, the one that matters, he does. He forgets it all. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our sins from us. Amen. He puts them away from us and he remembers them no more.
And so you may be able to remember them, but the one that matters does not remember them. But your adversary, the devil, does remember. And he's constantly battering you, constantly, amen, coming up to you and say, yeah, you no good for nothing. You know what you did. You know what you did yesterday. You know what you did this morning. You know what you did last night. Amen. You're just a hypocrite. That's what the devil wants to say. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That has provided a way that we can become free from it. The ashes of the red heifer were out there because when you dwell in the past, you're going to become unclean. But there is a way that you can overcome it. And I can just imagine as they came to the ashes of the red heifer, amen, and they began to say, oh, I'm so thankful that this is available for us because otherwise I'd be for unclean and I would be forever out of the camp. Amen. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, you would forever be lost, amen, in a lake of fire forever. Amen. But because of God, and because of his goodness, because of his grace, because of his mercy, he has already provided a way for you to be able to walk in the newness of life. Praise God. Amen. And so he said, God forbid, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, that's not what we're going to do, because grace teaches us that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. That's what grace teaches us. We're not going to forsake the grace of God. I know the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 teaches us, that ye who were dead to sins in times past, you lived according to that, amen, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were unclean. And then he goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy with his great love, wherein he loved us. Amen. And that through grace, that we are saved by grace through faith in him. Amen. You're not just saved by grace. You're saved by grace through faith in him. In other words, that if I do what grace teaches me to do, then I'm going to be okay. Is that what Noah did? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but he didn't sit back and take it easy. Grace said, build an ark. Grace said, build it 3 stories high. Grace said, build it 150 foot long. Grace said, do this. Grace said, put a window in it. Grace said, put one door in it. And Noah had to do exactly what grace taught him to do if he was going to get out of the storm. Otherwise, he would have been right in the storm just like everybody else. But because that he was obedient to what grace told him to do, amen, the grace of God taught him, amen. He had never built a boat. Nobody had ever built a boat. And so finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, he did what God told him to do. God said, Noah, you found grace in my eyes. Oh, thank you, Lord. What do I need to do? Build a boat. I've never built a boat. That means I can't do it. Oh, no, you're going to figure it out. You're going to do this. And he did. He did. To the saving of his family. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me move on here. Praise God. And so he said, know ye not. Know ye not. Amen. There's just some things that we do know, and there's some things that we ought to know. He said that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Amen. And we could talk about that. And we're going to talk about that. Amen. And that he said that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Praise God. Thank God for baptism. Thank God for baptism, because baptism is a washing away of the dead things that we've repented of. This is kind of what baptism doth. Repentance is kind of like Germex. And you can wash your hands with Germex and it can kill all the germs, but they're still on your hands. And so you can go wash away those germs. All right? And that's the way that baptism is. We can repent of our sins, but our sins are still clung to us at this point in time. But through the waters of baptism, they are washed away from us. Washed away. Amen. And you know something that is so unique in all of this is the way that God designed all of this, and that water has the ability to do, amen, in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And so that's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught to be baptized. As a matter of fact, Jesus was our example in that he was baptized. Amen. And then when he arose, the Bible teaches us that the first thing that he began to preach was a message of repentance. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." All right? And so you got to repent. And then in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And is baptized shall be saved. So you got to be baptized. Baptized calling upon the name of the Lord. Praise God. Now I could get into Matthew 28 and 19. I'm not going to. I have no need to. All right? But I am going to take you to some other place. I'm going to take you to 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20 and verse number 21. Because we've been talking about Noah. And so in 1 Peter chapter number 3, 20 and 21, the Bible said that Noah was moved upon by God and that he responded accordingly to build an ark to save his family. The Bible said whereunto 8 souls were saved by water. Everybody say saved. Saved. I didn't say that. The book says that. He said saved. Whereunto 8 souls were saved by water. That's how that they were saved. Man, water destroyed everybody else, but water saved them. They were baptized. And he goes on in verse number 21. He said, "The like figure, baptism, doth also now," everybody say save, save us. That's what it says, 1 Peter 3 and 21. Amen. That the like figure, that baptism doth also now save us. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says it like this. Neither is there what? Salvation. Noah was saved by water, and the light figure, baptism, doth also save us. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation, saving power, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given among men whereby under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. That's why when we baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And baptism saves us. And Paul said that whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. We know that Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. That's how salvation comes. A lot of people have problem with Peter's words, and they say, "I'd rather take the words of Peter over the words of Jesus." I just want you to know that Peter preached exactly what Jesus said, amen, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, because the Great Commission is not only found in Matthew 28 and 19, but the Great Commission is found in Mark 16 and 16, and the Great Commission is found in Luke 24, 46, 47, and 48, and the Great Commission is preached in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, amen, and the Great Commission is preached in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1 through 4, amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, for how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. There's repentance. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized, and the Bible said, into Jesus Christ, we're baptized in his death. There's baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up, there's the resurrection from the dead and the glory of God the Father. Even so should we also walk in the newness of life. We repent of our sins. We are baptized in his name, and we are filled with his Spirit, walking now in the newness of life, because old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. And we die daily to these things, to keep the flesh under subjection, so that we can live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. Now let's pull this to a close. And so here is a man by the name, we're going to talk about two men. Here's a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob is not very happy about his past. Jacob is very ashamed of the things that he has done. Jacob defrauded his brother. Jacob lied to his dad, was deceptive, and did things his way. And now Jacob has been running from a past for a long period of time. Jacob has worked 14 years just to have two wives. And we could talk about that, but because that's not very wise. But Jacob has worked 14 years, and in the process of working 14 years, he himself has been deceived. He's been lied to, and he's been done wrong. And you know, it's one thing to lie, deceive, and do others wrong, and you can feel bad about it. But then you really know how others feel when you've lied and you've been deceptive and done other people wrong. And it just compounds the pain, compounds the problem. And here's Jacob, and he's been working more than 14 years, and God has blessed him. But he's come to his wit's end. He's tired of living the life that he's living, because he sees that living this life, he's not going to get any further ahead. Everything that he puts his hands to and God begins to try to bless it or is being blessed, his uncle takes it and destroys it. He's changed his wages. Jacob figures, I'll work harder. Laban changed his wages several times. And so Jacob is at a point in his life that's just like, I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of living like a slave. I'm sick of doing all this and somebody else benefiting from this. And I just feel like I'm not getting anywhere in life. So, well, you know what, Jacob? You could go home. He's like, no, I can't go home either. Because if I go home, my brother's going to kill me because of all the things that I've done. Where are you going to go, Jacob? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. I have no place to go. And so misery and condemnation is all over him. And finally, he makes up his mind. I'm going to go repent to my brother. I'm going to tell him how sorry I am. And so he begins the walk. I don't believe it was at a fast pace. His head held down as he walked the walk. He found some men. He said, would you go tell my brother I'm on my way? I had a lot to think about. I got a lot to contemplate. But hopefully that'll soften him up. Would you go tell him? And so they went ahead to go tell him. And he walks the walk of contemplation. How old am I? How messed up am I? What do I really have in life? What pride do I have in life? What joy? I've lived all of these years, and I'm so miserable. So miserable. Well, you think your misery is bad? Jacob, wait just a little while. And here comes the men back. Like, hey, Jacob, we went to go see Esau and tell him that you're coming. Well, how did he respond? Oh, matter of fact, he was already on his way to you. Oh, really? Yeah, he's got 400 men. Oh, no. He's going to kill me. Well, this is what it all came down to. He splits the family. You over here, you over here. That way, when he comes, we'll go this way and you go this way. And at least, hopefully, one. No hope. No dream. Nothing. This is what my life has come to. No hope. No dream. No vision. I didn't envision it to be this way. I hope it was going to be great. I thought the birthright was the answer. We're going to live happily and forever after. It's not. And here it is. And the night fell on Jacob. And the Bible said that he wrestled with an angel all night long. Because that's the troubles and the tumultuous time. The turmoil in your life is represented as darkness. And all night long, he wrestled, not feeling like he was getting any further ahead. And the Bible says that when the day began to break, that the angel of the Lord smote his thigh. As he said, turn me loose. He said, I'm not turning you loose unless you bless me. And so the angel of the Lord smote his thigh and changed his life forever. That the sinew of his thigh shriveled up. And so from that point forward, not only did Jacob walk with a limp that his kids would see, that his grandkids would see, he walked with a limp. He was changed forever. But also his name was changed. His name was changed. So what is your name? Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but it shall be called Israel. For as a prince thou hast found favor with God. A new beginning. A new beginning for Jacob. I'm not proud of my past. Not happy about it. But I've got a new beginning. Starting now. And so he walked differently from that day forward. Let's talk about another man as we stand here this morning. A man by the name of Peter. Who had all plans, goals, ambitions to do it right. Sitting there talking with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, all men shall deny me. Peter said, not I. It's not going to happen. I will never walk out on you. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never walk away from you. And the Lord looked over at Peter and he said, Peter, before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. He said, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Not I. But as we begin to progress through that chapter, we see that Peter did exactly that. People came to him and said, oh, you're one of them. You know them. He said, I don't know him. Three times it happened. And you know what that was? That was all night long. When you begin to study about the death of Christ, by 9 o'clock in the morning, he was on the cross. But somewhere at about 6 o'clock in the morning, that rooster crowed. Because that's what chickens and roosters do. And what does it signify? New day. New day. The night is finished. The dawn is breaking. New day. Cock-a-doodle-doo. It's new day. That's what it is. And here is Peter through the course of the roughest night of his life. Culminating to the point that he says, I don't even know the man. And the feeling that was there. And then all of a sudden the rooster began to crow. Let me just tell it to you like this. It can be the sound of condemnation or it can be the opportunity for worship. Because things can change from this day forward. Peter could have looked at that as condemnation, and he did. The Bible said that he went out and wept bitterly. But hey, Peter, it's over. As a matter of fact, a few hours later, Jesus would simply say, it's finished. It's through. It's done. And that's the way that Jesus wants to be with our sins. One of the writers said he put it behind his back. When it's put behind your back, it's just forgotten. Out of sight, out of mind. And that's the way that God wants to deal with your sins. And that's the way that God wants to help you. And that's the way that we've got to become. I'm not going to live in sin any longer. You see, sin is a heavy taskmaster. And sin is going to beat you and drive you. And that's what sin wants to do. It wants to drive you into the ground, to the place that you never feel good enough. You feel unworthy. You feel inadequate, insufficient. You feel like, what's the use in even living? You feel like, I've tried everything and done all this stuff, and what do I have to show for it? Absolutely nothing. Here's Peter walking with Jesus, and in the matter of just a few hours, he's thrown it all away. And that was so many of us, that God had done so much for us, and we just threw it all away. But all there is a new dawning. There is a new day that is coming up. The Bible says it like this: weeping may endure for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. It's not in the morning time as in, amen, another 24-hour session. But there are times in your life, amen, that you have gone through the darkest hours of your life. Amen. In the land of Goshen, in the land of Egypt, they said that it was a darkness that could be felt. Amen. A darkness that was overwhelming and overpressing. Amen. And when we get to those places, and the past wants to try to overwhelm us, and the sins and the dead things wants to overwhelm us, but God has provided a way for us. Amen. An opportunity for worship. And that is what is here this morning. You've got an opportunity to make it right with God. You don't have to go home today connected to your sins. You don't have to go home connected to your past. Amen. You can come to an altar this morning, and you can repent of your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, amen, to the place that you would be able to walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Amen. These altars are open here this morning. Maybe there's something that you want to come talk to God about. Maybe you've had your hand holding on to the past. The chains of the past seem to be connected to you. It's time to be set free from those things. It's time, amen, to be delivered of that past. You don't have to live in that area any longer. You don't have to live that life anymore. You can come unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You can come boldly before the throne and confess your sins unto him, and he has prepared a way for you to be free. He's prepared a new beginning for you. He's prepared a new dawn for you. He has prepared a new life for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's just talk to him this morning. Let's talk to him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There's no life living under the condemnation of sin. There's no life living in a life of sin. There's no joy. There's no happiness. You might have fun for a moment, but there's no pleasure. Amen. Just a pleasure for sin for a season. Amen. But it's all going to come to an end. You don't feel that in the nighttime when you try to lay your head down and rest. Amen. You don't feel that when you try to rest, amen, and to gain rest for your body and for your soul. But there's so much condemnation that's there. Amen. The enemy just beating on you, wearing you down. Amen. And you're looking for something, needing something, and God has got the answer. He said, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to live in regret and condemnation. God doesn't want your your past to overwhelm you. God doesn't want your mistakes, amen, to take you down. God wants to set you free from mistakes, set you free from condemnation, set you free from a life of that. God wants to deliver you, amen, from those things. God wants to help you past your past, and He is well able. Oh, let's love Him. Let's love Him. Let's love Him today. Thank you, Jesus.